wrap the Simon Tov Resh Mem, and it's really, truly, mamash mitzvah zazesh as man gom. It's mamash time bound this, because we're really talking about mim apatur mishiva sukkah, karen alicha sukkah, and thinking about the weather. I think it's maybe I think it's good to know these halachas, especially when we learned last week. We learned about rain on the first night. I think it's good to know to be clear on these halachas. Okay, Simon Tov Resh Mem, mim apatur mishiva sukkah. So the Shulchan Aruch teaches us the following. Noshim ve'avodim uktanim pturim min ha-sukkah. Women, slaves, and minor children are potter from the sukkah, they are potter from the yeshiva sukkah, they are exempt from the mitzvah. Tumtum ve'andrigenes, these are people that is not clear as to whether they are males or females. Chayovim mesofek, they are obligated. It's not clear if there are males and therefore they would be obligated in Shiva Sukkah, or there are females and therefore they would be exempt. So therefore they are chayovi because of the doubt, sofik deraisa, they have to assume and they have to fulfill the mitzvah. V'chein mishechotzi evet v'chotzi ben choyrin chayev. Also somebody who is a half slave and half ben choyrin, half redeemed, he is chayev, is obligated in Shiva Sukkah. Says the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Aleph, Noshim ve'avodim v'chul mishum da'avel mitzvah shneman groma v'noshim p'toros. As any other time-bound mitzvah, women are exempt. Women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. Ve'avet dinoy ke'isha, on a slave has got the same halachas than an isha. We once already discussed this thought, and I'm just mentioning it now again for anybody who's got who needs to explain why women are exempt and male are obligated in time-bound mitzvahs. And Pshim Shun of Ol Hirsch explains beautifully that men need a constant reminder about Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and a constant reminder to the connection to Hashem. That's what we need. We're obligated in all the mitzvahs. However, women have naturally more connection to Hashem. Women are naturally more, and they don't need constant reminders. So says Rav Hirsch, Pshim Shun of Ol Hirsch. They are naturally more inclined to the connection to Hashem. Therefore, they're exempt from the mitzvahs which remind them of that connection, which I think is an interesting thought. Now, what about a bracha? Is a woman obligated? A woman is not obligated in sitting, but what if she does sit? Does she make a bracha or not? So the Mishnah Berurah says an interesting thought. Within bracha, she writes leishiv sukkah. What happens with regards to a bracha if a woman does want to sit in the sukkah? Ela elzim yudzayin. The noegin anoshin bracha. The minig is women to make a bracha. Although they are exempt, women are exempt. But if they do sit in the sukkah, they fulfill the mitzvah. Others shouldn't make a bracha for them. Even if they can't make a bracha themselves, so others should make a bracha for them on their behalf, unless they are yotz themselves with that bracha. There is, I understand from the post scheme, there seems to be some sort of minig, and I think it's true to call it a minig, that some ladies don't make a bracha on Leishah B'Sukkah. Do you know of your wives, mother's wives, sisters-in-law, sisters, nieces, everybody makes it? Because it seems from the post scheme, in some families, there seems to be a custom that even Ashkenazi families, it sounds like some don't make brachas. Do you know anybody, your wives, yeah, make brachas, leisha b'sukkah, right? So the emissary that Sfadim don't, this is all based on a machloikas between Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, but some of the minig lemaisa not to make a bracha, it sounds like, but it looks like it's common to do make a bracha. Okay, Sif Kotten Gimel Chayov Misafek. So with regards to andrigenes tumtum and andrigenes, the Mishnah Berurah says mikomokum leivochu, they should not make a bracha, which is generally, this is a rule that we need to remember whenever there's a safek. For fulfillment, we want to be machmer on both sides. On the one hand, we are machmer that he should fulfill the mitzvah. On the other hand, we are not lenient to allow him to make a bracha. So he does fulfill the mitzvah, but he doesn't make a bracha. Yeah.
Why wouldn't a tumtum or drunkenness make a bracha? Because it's certainly not worse than being a woman. If anything, it's a sofek the chumra, but not a sofek the kula.
That's an interesting shaila. Why is it that a tumtum and andrigenes? That's an interesting shaila. Why is an andrigenes and a tumtum and andrigenes not make a bracha?
So
the emphasis, that's what the Mishnah Berurah points out. Look, Mamash Mishnah Berurah, sorry, I forgot about this. Kedel tzim new design to base. Mikol mokim im roitzim levorech, if they want to make a bracha, harushus biyadon, they may make a bracha, continues and concludes the Mishnah Berurah, the loy grim ish, they're not worse than a woman. So certainly they can if they want. They can if they want. Mishnah Berurah seems to be not so thrilled about the idea, but they can make a bracha. Okay, that's with regards to the halachas of noshim, avodim, ektanim. Women. So, what do you think about that? If there's two parts of the sukkah, one part of the sukkah is kosher, one part of the sukkah is not kosher. You know, there is sukkahs that partially are kosher, partially not. Is it okay for the women to sit in the area which is not kosher? What do you think about that? Certainly so. Yeah, what do you think about that, Rabbi? I think it's quite, is there anything wrong with it? You have a sukkah which let's say it's got doif and akumov or whatever it may be. A part of the sukkah which is not great.
I should think that the men should sit in the kosher part of the sukkah, and then if there's enough room, the women should also sit there.
Should.
There's only enough room for men to sit in the kosher part.
Then it's fine for the ladies to sit in the, right, yeah, so that's fine. Any problems with it? If you, women to sit in the area of the sukkah, which is, no, there's no, nothing wrong with that at all. So, because women are exempt, they certainly can be sitting on an area of sukkah, which is possible, and you can't make a bracha. That's halacha maaseh, yeah.
And they don't take a bracha.
They certainly won't, yeah.
But you sit the bracha, and then they sit on
normally, there's no shayla of hefsek, so it would be okay. Or are you referring to if there is, normally it's fine, there's nothing wrong. Nevertheless, they can and they should say amen. Yeah. Seif Beis. Cotton, that's an interesting halacha way. What about chinuch? Seif Beis discussed the shayla of chinuch. Chinuch, what child is obligated in sitting in the sukkah? Which child? What age group? What would you have guessed?
From
what age group would you say that a child can still wash and eat outside the sukkah? Have a piece of cake outside the sukkah? Wash.
Six
to nine, somewhere between 6 and 9. Is that what you say as well?
You don't say it's different for each child.
Between what and what?
Like 3 and...
You'd say some children who are 3 are obligated already?
I think, you know, you can get some 3-year-olds who really know what's going on and some 6-year-olds who
don't
have a clue.
Yeah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, and the Shulchan Aruch, in fact. So it depends on the following. Cotton should ain't not tzarich la'imoy. A child who does not need his mother anymore. Shehu kven chomesh kven sheish. He's fairly independent and he doesn't need physical purposes. Of course, emotionally, a person is always attached to his mother, but he's talking about the physical. He doesn't need his mother for if he's like 5, kven chomesh or kven sheish, 5 or 6 years old, he's not so dependent anymore on his mother. Chayev besukkah is obligated in sitting in the sukkah medivrei soifrim medrabanon kedei lechanche b'mitzvus in order to fulfill the mitzvah of chinuch. 5 or 6 years old, because that's when he's fairly independent. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Misif Kotten Dalat's mom is your point. Kolchad kefum chupe depends. It's very, very individual. It depends very much on every child according to his understanding. There is children that are more. There is children who chup quicker. You're right. And they'll be obligated in sukkah quicker. And children which are a bit less mature, they won't chup and they are still exempt. Right. Siv Kotten Hey is a famous Mishnah Berurah. It's good to remember this one. He says the following: Nechancha b'mitzvus, chinuch b'mitzvus. V'im ein lo av, what happens chalila if he hasn't got a father, a yosem, a child who hasn't got a father? What's the halacha then? Yesh oimrim. Some say the imo yuvesin chayovin lechanchoi, that his mother and bezdin are obligated to mechanach the child. V'lekule alma, according to all the opinions, also lahachil lekotn biyadayim chutz lesukah afidu la'adam acher. According to all the opinions, says the Mishnah Berurah, when a person is not allowed to feed, so say you've got a 6-year-old child who hasn't got a father, so you're not allowed to. So there's two questions over here. Are you obligated to mechanachim, to teach him, come on, you have to eat in the sukkah? That's point number one. So he says that, according to some opinions, yes. His mother and the bezdin and other people, we're all, to a certain extent, bezdin, we're all others, we have to explain to him, yeah, you know, you haven't got a father, but let me tell you that you have to actually sit in the sukkah, you have to eat in the sukkah if you're having mezonos, if you have a moitzi, you have to sit. So that's obligation, general obligation. But besides that, he says, according to everyone, you're not allowed to feed him outside the sukkah. You're not allowed to feed a child. That's an important halacha. If you have a child who is mature, a 9-year-old child, you're not allowed to give him a piece of cake outside the sukkah. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to give him. So yeah, he's coming to your house, can I have a biscuit? You're not allowed to do that. Which could be, I can imagine many shyness. You're not allowed to feed. Imagine somebody comes to your house, a visitor, somebody wants to come.
Just a boy.
Yeah, correct.
So not,
correct.
Not just a yosim, but anyone.
Correct. Correct. Is an isn't to be machil biodaim, anyone. Correct. Yes, that's it. I think it's an important point to remember. Yeah. Siv Gimel. Choylim umishamshen pturim minasuka. Choylim, people who are unwell, umishamshen, people who are supporting them, who are helping them. Pturim minasuka are part of minasuka. Now, this is a very important halacha because the Mishnah Chinuch defines that. V'loy choyle sheish bazakona. Not only choyle that is dangerously ill. Of course, choyle is dangerously ill. Sure, he doesn't, somebody is really dangerously unwell. He doesn't have to eat sit in suka, that's for sure. Elo, but even, afilu chash b'roishe, if he's got a headache, he's got a lot of pain in the eyes, he's exempt from the sukkah. Some say that so we learned the initial aloch in Sif Gimel was that it was choylim, the sick people, umeshamshem, people who help them, who are supporting them, who are looking after them. But now he continues, some say that no, that the Meshamshim people who are helping them are only exempt, only literally, it's not a 24/7 exemption. The Meshamshim people who are supporting the Cholim, they are only exempt during their, when they are looking after the Cholim. So somebody is a nurse who is helping, is helping an elderly gentleman, or is looking. So when he's actually helping, it's true. When you're helping this person who is a choyla, you can eat outside the sukkah. It's fine. That includes, of course, obviously washing as well, and you're eating properly. But once you're not looking after him anymore, then the regular rules apply. Umishimak is dom. Somebody's letting blood. Chayev besuk is obligated in sukkah. Now. The answer for that question is because during when he's helping, he's in a state of being potur. The Torah never obligates a person to, because that's it's part of the teshuva came to do. If now is the time for you to eat, the Torah doesn't expect him to delay his eating. He's not expected to delay his eating. He's now exempt. He's allowed to eat. Yeah. That's a good question.
Or is it because it's part
That's
of
an interesting question. The question asked is, what's the deal with regards to a mesham shen, somebody supporting and looking after a chole? If it's got a few hours break, what happens then? Is he lunch break? Is he then exempt or not exempt? Will he be able to eat outside the sukkah? Yes or no? So the truth is, that's really mistama part of what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here. That he's only. The helpers are only exempt. Only when the chole needs him, then he's exempt. During the time that he's not helping the chole, the regular rules apply, and he will not be exempt from eating in the sukkah. Yeah.
It's all very well if you're working in Hadassah Ein Kerem or somewhere where there's a sukkah, but if you're working in St. Thomas's and you're by the bedside of a Jewish patient, then no one's going to expect you to take a tube down to...
Definitely.
Close the sukkah.
Definitely.
And then take a tube back.
So therefore you're saying that although he doesn't need... You're bringing a point now that you...
So the
point is as follows. Can I just rephrase your question? So this is... You are asking now, does he have a ptur? So it's not... The ptur won't be because he's a meshamash of a choyle. Because he's at this point now, he's not meshamash of a chole. It just happens to be he's in a state now that he hasn't got a sukkah. It's not because of his. If you'd be working in an accountancy or in a firm or whatever it may be, the question would be identical. Am I right or wrong?
There's a Gemara, for example, where there were these Amoraim or Tanaim on their way to be Mekabel Pnei Rabbi.
Yes.
And they don't use a sukkah in the way in the journey because the whole thing is one big.
Correct.
So
correct. You say you want to include this.
It's all part of the Pitur. Okay, he's got half an hour off to because no one can spend 7 hours by someone's bedside without a break just because that's how we are.
But right.
Just because he's taken half an hour out, that doesn't mean that the Pitur ends.
Right.
Especially if he's got no sukkah.
If there's a Pitur, which there probably is a Pitur, it's not because of his status of Meshamash. Of Meshamash Achoyle. It will be because of a different reason. But he won't be because of Mishamish, because the Shulchan Aruch teaches us over here that Enem Mishamish Pturin El Bishosh HaCholet Tzorich Lahem, when he actually needs him. Now he does not need him. He's being looked after by somebody else. And there will be another Ptur, arguably. But not this Ptur of Mishamish of HaCholet.
Isn't this Shulchan Aruch only V'yesh Misha in there? Does he not pass going to point to the first
Pshinim? It's not... Does that, so this is a shine on its own. Stam v'yesh misha omer, how do we paskin? It's true that often we paskin like stam, but if we hear from the poskin, it sounds like we paskin like the that we are choshish for the yesh misha omer. Yeah, let me just look at the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Vav Cholim. The Mishnah Berurah says over here the following: Mishum deksev teishvu kein toduru. The reason why a chole is exempt is because of the ptur of teish v'kein toduru. If he would have had this illness throughout the entire year, lo yoyishe beveisu daf, he wouldn't have sat in his house. A person who is unwell goes to a place where he's comfortable. A person who is unwell, he's going to go in a place where he feels more comfortable and he's okay. So therefore, just as much as a chole, generally throughout the whole year, he's going to put himself in a place that is comfortable. So similarly also on the sukkahs, he doesn't have to stay in the sukkah where he's uncomfortable. He can go elsewhere where he feels more comfortable. So just to make that point very clear, that a choyl over here is a ptur of teshuva kein to do. Because I saw a shayla brought down in the poskim. Is a choyl, a very fascinating shayla, is a choyl exempt from, is a choyl exempt, somebody is unwell, is he exempt from eating matzah? Is a choyl exempt from you name it, the mitzvah of eating. Can you help me out? Can you think of a mitzvah? Is a chole exempt of shofar? Is that what you said?
No.
Yeah, is exempt. Is a chole exempt from lighting the Hanukkah candles?
No.
Right. I'm not talking about somebody dangerously ill. I'm talking about chole. We're talking about over here clearly defined as somebody slightly unwell. Is a person who's slightly unwell exempt from any other mitzvahs? No, of course not. A person is obligated. If you've got a headache, you need to eat matzah. If you've got a headache, you need to light the menorah on Chanukah. Why is it different? Why is then the question is, why is a chole exempt from eating in the sukkah? He is exempt, that's what we're learning now. If you feel more comfortable, if you are better off being in the sukkah, if you've got a headache and you're better in the sukkah, then it's fine, then you're obligated.
But many sukkahs tend to be rather cold.
Yes.
It was particularly the case centuries ago at the time of the Mahaba and the Chofetz Chaim, when there wasn't the modern heating systems that we have nowadays.
Yeah.
Even still nowadays, if a person Mistar is exempt from the sukkah,
right. So the truth is, yeah, you're right. The point being over here, that it's true that generally a chole is chayv and kolat teira kula. Somebody is a chole, somebody is unwell, you're obligated to daven with a minyan, you're obligated to glad chanukah, you're obligated to kirsat teira, you're obligated in all the mitzvahs. If somebody is unwell, you've got a headache, you've got a stomachache, you're obligated in all the mitzvahs. Over here it's different, as the Mishnah Berurah point, that's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah is trying to teach us over here. That over here it's different because the ksiv teishvu kein toduru. And just as much as the whole year round, you would have put yourself in a comfortable position. So the obligation of the sukkah is like you have to be like throughout the whole year. You have to do the same than you do the rest of the year. Like normally you wouldn't have gone to the dining room. You would have gone upstairs into your bed. So now also you're allowed to go into your bed. You don't have to be moist and nefesh, as it were, if that's the right term. You don't have to do that. You can, if that's in a normal situation, you have gone upstairs, you can go down upstairs as well. That's what he's teaching over here, which is very interesting. Yeah.
And if he's got a bed in his sukkah, he's
Yes, unless he feels that he's uncomfortable. If this would have been his bed throughout all whole year, he would have gone to a different bed, then, yeah, it goes as much, you don't have to do more than you'd normally do during the year. Which is a very interesting halacha. Now Mesham Shayan Sifkotn Zain says the following: Lefishen Oiskin b'mitzvah. Mesham Shayan is pot. Why Mesham Shayan? Why is somebody looking after? Somebody's not well. Why is he exempt? Because lefishen oisik ba mitzvah, because they're oisik ba mitzvah. V'chol oisik ba mitzvah poter min ha mitzvah. Anybody who's oisik ba mitzvah, anybody who is busy doing a mitzvah is exempt from the mitzvah. Now here the poskim ask a very interesting shaila. What's the halacha with regards to a meshamesh a cholet? That leads us a little bit to your discussion. Imagine somebody who is a meshamesh. So we're learning now a meshamesh of a cholet is exempt. A meshamesh of a cholet is exempt. Because of oisik ba mitzvah potim na mitzvah. He's doing a mitzvah. He's looking after a chole. He's looking after a chole. So he's doing a great mitzvah. To look after a chole is a huge mitzvah. We learned that in Avas Chesed. It's a huge mitzvah. So therefore he's exempt from the other mitzvah of Yeshiva Sukkah. Now, let me ask you the following shaila. What happens if this meshamesh, if this person is helping the chole, what happens if he gets paid for it?
Still a mitzvah.
Still a mitzvah?
Because, I mean, I've heard, I can't remember exactly the context, I've heard Gedolim say as much. I've heard, who was the, of Moshe Kopchitz, I think, used to say that taxi drivers who drive around all day giving. They're also doing chesed.
They're doing chesed, okay.
So it's.
Now you're reminding me of a story that Reb Chaim Kanievsky says in the name of Eliot Dushnitzer. A fascinating story. He said there was the Chofetz Chaim used to say, but that's, I'm just going slightly off the topic, but only slightly. He used to say the Chofetz Chaim used to say there was one person in a pharmacy who was giving out medicines in Radin. Who used to be, people know that his brochas were Mekuyim always. His brochas, he was a balabos. He was not a Talmud Chacham even. So the Chofetz Chaim, so it wasn't even a Talmud Chacham, but his brochas were very, 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 very powerful brochas. He used to give somebody a brocha. So the question, where did that come from? So the Chofetz Chaim said on him, the Chofetz Chaim, this is something the Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, that he heard from Eli Dushnitzer, who heard from the Chofetz Chaim. So this is really, really reliable. He said that this person was once told, came once complaining to the Chofetz Chaim, and he said that, you know, the whole day I'm just busy, I'm doing work, I'm just engaged in business. I would love to be able to sit and learn, or at least say Tehillim the majority of my day. I'm just working, and I'm not doing any Avodas HaKodesh. I wish I would be Zoichet to have an Avodas HaKodesh job, but I haven't got. Chofetz Chaim told him something really interesting, and that really leads us to what you are saying. Chofetz Chaim told, you know, what you should do is that when you are giving out medicines, your intention should be that you want to help people because you're giving out medicines. You want to help people. You want to give out medicines. You want to help them. It's true. You need to earn a living. You need to make a living. You need to clothe your kids. You need to bring food on the table. But that should not be your main approach. Your main sheifa should be that you're doing a job to help people. It's true. You need to earn a living as well. But that the reason why you're doing it is to help people. And said from that moment, his whole approach had changed, and because he did that with that kind of approach, therefore that's where his brachas were mekuyim. Without being a great Talmud Chacham, without being a fantastic gon and a dayan, but because his approach was to help people, therefore he was his brachas were mekuyim. Reb Shimshon Pinkus brings this in a sefer, and he said that truthfully, this doesn't have to be somebody who gives out medicines. It could be not just in the pharmacies; it could be in any job. Really, literally every single job, you can do it just for the money. You can do it in order to help people. You can be working in a bank. You can be an accountant. You can be whatever you're doing. If you're doing with that approach, because everybody somehow is part of the world. You're somehow involved with others, and whatever you're doing, you could be fixing things, you could be serving things, you can be whatever you're doing. If you're doing it for others, then the whole approach changes, and surely according to that, the brachas are mekuyim, your brachas will be mekuyim as well. It's just a matter of how you do things, why you're doing things, and how you're doing things. This is Reb Shimshon Pinkus, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who quotes the story from Elish Dushnitzer, who heard it from the Chofetz Chaim. I think it's fascinating. So just going back to your point, that it's true that a meshamesh of a chole, he's doing a great mitzvah, even if he's getting paid. However, the Bialocha writes elsewhere, famous Bialocha, it's not here, but the Bialocha writes elsewhere, the Chofetz Chaim does say that with regards to the psak, with regards to the halacha, the rule of oisik ba mitzvah, is potter min ha-mitzvah, that if you're getting paid, that doesn't work. You don't say oisik ba mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah, if you're getting paid for it. And it's got many ramifications in halacha. Here as well, if somebody is a meshamesh ha-choyle and he's getting paid for it, he's getting paid for it, the rule of oisik ba mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah does not apply. Consequently, he's obligated, he's not exempt from the sukkah, he'll have to eat in the sukkah. That's halacha lemaisa, it'll be halacha paskins as well, and arguably I'm sure he's going to agree as well, because oisik mitzvah, potter min mitzvah only applies if he's not getting paid.
So even at the time when
If he's needing him, yeah, even if when he's needing him, yeah. Because he's not Oisik B'mitzvah. He's not considered Oisik B'mitzvah. Yes, but if he's getting paid, he's not Oisik B'mitzvah. Yes, it's true. It's true, but he's not. It doesn't go into the get of Oisik B'mitzvah, Potter and Mitzvah. Yeah. Yeah. Pardon?
A person is a Mitzvah. He has, let's say he's married, and he's got a what's it called?
Ksuva?
Yeah, and he's a Mitzvah to provide.
He definitely is. He definitely is.
So, if he's a Mitzvah, then anything he does, which is for that aim, it's a Mitzvah.
Right, so you're saying that it is a mitzvah, but
it has a mitzvah. If what he's doing is Ratzon Hashem, because that is the halacha,
right,
then by definition it's a mitzvah.
Right, okay. So therefore, what? You're saying this is a mitzvah, so therefore, so you're still saying that the head of... Right, right. You're saying that, yeah, but it's true that he's not saying, the B'alacha doesn't say that it's not considered Oisik Bar Mitzvah. He's not belittling the mitzvah. You just said that the Ptur doesn't apply if you've got a different additional agenda as well. The Ptur, of course, is Oisik Bar Mitzvah. Yes, it's considered Oisik Bar Mitzvah. As long as you're helping somebody, surely you are considered Oisik Bar Mitzvah. But you're not exempt. As far as the exemption is concerned, exempt doesn't apply. It's not, you know, if you've got an additional agenda as well. I want to finish off with one shaila, and just finish off with that. An interesting shaila that Mr. Kelly was asked, what's the halach with regards to someone who wants to sleep in the sukkah, but his wife is scared of sleeping on her own in the house?
He has to be in the house.
He has to be in the house. Based on what? I
disagree with that, but...
What's the halacha? Again, the man wants to sit in the husband wants to sleep in the sukkah. Shalom bayis. So shalom bayis. It's true that shalom bayis, you're moichik even the shame. We even erase the name of Hashem. But does that apply here as well? Shalom bayis, it overrides everything. I appreciate that approach. Okay. I know I appreciate that. What do you think, Rabbi? Everybody agrees to that? The wife is scared. Pardon?
Why?
Why? Based on what? Is that what you're asking? Oh, is it considered? That's the point. Is it considered mishamish of a chole or not? If she's scared to be sleeping on her own, is that considered mishamish of a chole? So, listen, it's an interesting thought. I'm sure one can argue, and I really appreciate your point as well, because there's Gemara that say that, you know, by Soita, the Gemara says, Masechet Soita, that you don't have to raise Hashem's name. You don't have to raise, it's a deraisa to raise, but the Torah allows you to raise Hashem's name for Soita, so just to make Shalom Bayis. Rabbi Kanetsky explains that, why is it necessary to raise Hashem's name for Shalom Bayis? Why? Could it be? So he says, because to show Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that you learned to do so much just to have a perfect Shalom Bayis. It wouldn't have been the same. It wouldn't have been the same without it. Just to show that even Hashem is moich on his covered. Even Hashem is moich on his covered. I believe you should improve the Shalom Bayis, everything for Shalom Bayis. Now, but on, so I appreciate your point. However, Rabbi Nissen Karelitz says the following. Rabbi Nissen Karelitz says that it depends actually how he feels about it. If he is mitztayer about his wife's being uncomfortable and being scared, if he's mitztayer, say, I can't sleep because my wife is nebuchadnezzar in agony, she's uncomfortable, then he's exempt. But if he's not that kind of fellow, he said, he's just happy to have a night off, and he's going to be happy in the sukkah with that, then actually he's obligated to sleep in the sukkah. It's actually avodas hamidus according to Rav Nissen Karelitz. It depends on his midus. If he's bothered about her not being comfortable, then he's actually, such as Rav Nissen Karelitz, if he's not comfortable about her being uncomfortable, he's exempt because of mitzvah. He's got din of mitzvah, and he should go out to the sukkah. But if he couldn't care less about it, he's obligated to sleep in the sukkah.